ball spark.
You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Monday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Get into all kinds of different things. Jim Traber will be with us at 9:30. I'm sure he has thoughts on what transpired yesterday as well as the Bedlam game over the weekend. We'll hit Riley. We'll hit Bedlam as well. Give you guys our thoughts on what happened in both the game and then the aftermath of the game. And then go back to Friday night as the Elks and Clinton played a really, really good game in the semifinals over at Weatherford. That Clinton was able to come out on top. So, you know, everyone out here knows what's happened and knows what the topic du jour is. And it's what you're going to hear all day long right now here on the station. So we thought we're going to give you just a little bit of variety with high school football and actually talk about the Bedlam game. But, of course, the biggest story in sports, period, is Lincoln Riley heading to USC from Oklahoma. It's not something that happens very often around these parts. As when you go back and look through history, Jim Tatum back in 1946 is the last Sooners head coach that coached a college team the next year. 1972 with Chuck Fairbanks is the last time it happened, period, where a coach left Oklahoma and coached football the next year somewhere else. So a really crazy day yesterday. About 2 o'clock in the afternoon. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. Feel free to chime in. 225-9698. I'm sure everybody has their opinion on why it happened, or the timing of it. Who's next? OU fans, who do you want? OSU fans, who would you like to see OU hire? That's always fun too, to go from that side of it. Which normally, if your rival fan base wants somebody, that means you don't really need to hire that person. I can think of one guy that fits that bill to me. But anyway, 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, you've got the app. You've got KADSAM.com on the app. You've got all those goodies that we always talk about every day. But let's get to it. Let's go to Friday night first. The Elks and Clinton. Good morning, Jared. Forgot to tell you, good morning.
Oh, yeah. Hi. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm just trying to – my mind is going a million miles an hour.
Yeah, a lot's
trying to get,
happened. Yeah.
Trying to get everything in as fast as we can before we hear Jim's – thoughts on what happened yesterday. But man, Friday night, what a good game that was between Elk City and Clinton. The Elks had the better of it for a lot of that game. I thought physicality, we talked about it, we preached about it last week, the Elks having to be more physical than they were in the first contest between the two. There's no doubt they were, no doubt. And Elk City, I thought, played a really good game. But just a couple of special teams plays that Clinton made that Elk City didn't, kind of flip the script, and the Red Tornadoes were able to come away with the 17-7 win.
It was a fun game that Elk City came, you know, out on the short end of it, and I love, you know, all those keys to the game that we've mentioned about being more physical, just playing your brand of football and playing better than the last time, and then punching them. I mean, one of mine was, you got to punch them in the mouth first. You got to show Clinton that, you know, we're here for a fight. And that's what Elk City did. And ultimately, Clinton just made, one or two more plays than Elk City did, capitalized on an Elk City mistake and took advantage of it. So it was bittersweet because I walked away from it feeling good about the Big Elk program and its future. You know, where they were, where they came this season, and where it's going. I, you know, in a lot of respect, I think was earned on Friday night for the Big Elk program. You want to win it. I know it's that's the hard part is knowing, man, the chances were there, but I'm very positive, Aaron, moving forward with this program. I really am. I'm already looking forward to next year.
Yeah, the one part about it is, you're not going to outgain Clinton the way that the Elks did on offense very often. Right. And so when you do it, you really want that one to be a W. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, it's just the history of that rivalry. And now it's not, 26 out of 27 maybe, dating back to 2000. I mean, just in this millennium or whatever it is, it's you just don't get that chance to not outplay them. I don't know if that's the proper term, but every bit toe to toe throughout the entire evening. And you look at the yardage stats. The Elks way outgained Clinton on the ground. You know, I think Dalen ended up with more yards than Clinton did as a team. Those are things that don't happen very often on the brown and white side of that game. And so when they do, it just stings that much more to not be able to win that game. But the special teams plays. I thought the kickoff return right after the Elks marched it right down the field and scored the opening drive. Nate Jones takes it 76 back to the 10. Now, the Elks did a good job defensively to allow a field goal, but for the longest part of that game, that was the difference, was that field goal created off of the long kickoff return. Another play that I thought was absolutely huge was Garrison Rhodes' punt. It was like a 72-yard punt plus the penalty when Clinton was backed up inside their own 25. Ball goes right through both of the deep backs for Elk City and rolls clear down inside the 10. That was huge, huge play, I thought, because then when the Elks take over at the 4, they drive it clear down to the 23. Well, if you just you don't have to continue to execute as many plays as what they did, if you could catch it, even fair catch it at like the 35,
yeah,
where it bounced, just did not let that happen. And then of course, the play at in the fourth quarter, the muffed punt that allowed Clinton to set up shop inside the 25, and finally go ahead and kind of put the icing on the cake with that touchdown. Those were huge plays. And then defensively, it felt like the Red Tornadoes adjusted at halftime and just pinned their ears back. And so whether or not it was a run or a pass, they were in the backfield constantly. And now, that gives the offense chances to make them pay. And I thought in the third quarter, the Elks did a pretty good job of it. Blocking it up and having some good runs. I know, one of the plays that that didn't go Elk City's way was the little trap to Mason that he ran inside the 5, but then the penalty brings it back. And so instead of first and goal at the 3 or 4, it's first and 14 back outside the 20. And then, the sacks, that's when kind of the sack party started, was on third and fourth down in that drive. So kudos to the Clinton defense for kind of turning up the heat on the Elk City offense, and the Elks just couldn't quite get it done. But it was a hell of a season for Elk City. It's one that doesn't happen. 10 games, 10 wins in seasons don't happen very often around here. And the fans showed up big time on both sides. It was a really good atmosphere over at Weatherford on Friday night.
It was a lot of fun, and I'm glad that it didn't snowball. Elk could have looked at that last game and thought, well, that's what happened then, and that's probably what's going to happen tonight. And they refuse to let that seep into their heads and let that mental game defeat them. And they proved that they're one of the top 4, maybe top 3 teams in the state with how they hung with Clinton.
Yeah, right there. And so now the Red Tornadoes Friday night at 7 up at UCO in Edmond, and they will take on Tuttle. Basically number 1 and number 2 throughout the year. For the most part, was those two teams. And it, when you see the bracket, and obviously they're on opposite sides, you can see that collision coming. And that's what's going to happen on Friday. So congrats to the Elks, and congrats to Clinton as well on their season continuing. But the Elks with one of the better seasons in school history. Like I said, that season ending up in that game just flat out doesn't happen very often. And so it was a lot of fun from our side to do what we get to do to follow those guys along. And the last thing I think for me is congrats to those seniors, man. Those kids going through 0-20 their first 2 years in high school football as freshmen and sophomores, then to kind of turn things around. Season got derailed a little bit with COVID and all that. Everybody had that same problem last year. That wasn't just Elk City, but it did feel like as momentum was kind of starting to go to roll downhill, then the season was really choppy in the district play and didn't get to play games consistently like you're used to. And then those guys bounced back again from that this year and hung together, and they had a great, great season. And the foundation is laid now by those guys of a culture and a toughness and a kind of a willingness to keep on fighting no matter how much the odds are stacked against you.
Yeah.
And it's hard to believe that's the same group that started out with 20 straight in the L column.
I said it on senior night, giving them my thanks for them sticking it out for all that rough stuff you mentioned. And I said it on Friday night that, you know, their careers as Big Elks might be done, but what they've left behind is going to be here with this program for a long time. They've laid that base. They've returned Big Elk football to contenders. I mean, I said it Friday, I'll say it again. They are going to be taken seriously in 4A1 for quite a while, and if not just 4A1, but all of 4A. You got to get ready for the Big Elks, because, and a big reason why is because that senior class that stuck it out through the thick and thin and left it on a good note.
Yep. Now it's now it's up to the younger guys to follow that lead and continuing to build, not make it just one season to remember. You got to keep on. Obviously the goal, and it's something that Clinton's been so good at, is rebuilding years are still playoff years. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, when you're, not quite as good as last year, we still won a game in the playoffs or maybe made it to the semifinals, but, you know, wasn't quite the same team type of thing. You know, that's a lot to ask, and it's never happened in the history of Elk City football. But that's always the goal, it's not about one team. It's about the program being on good footing, and it looks like that's the case as we move along. All right,
yes.
We'll take a break. We got questions on the text line about coaches. Who does the OU fans want to replace Lincoln Riley? What a shocker. I mean, shocker. Coming out of Norman yesterday. Especially after the way he handled the post-game bedlam.
Right.
You felt like it was all put to bed, and then bam, lightning strike. See, now this is exactly what I was hoping for, Jared. OSU fan texting in my man Monty Tucker and his choice for the coach. Jason Garrett. Now that's exactly what I was. That's exactly what I was looking for.
That came in one of our texts yesterday. One of our conversations. I said I'm surprised no one said Tom Herman yet.
I'd rather have Tom Herman than Jason Garrett. Yes. If I were an OU fan. So let's talk about what happened. You know, I'm sitting there having the last Thanksgiving lunch for this year at my mother-in-law's. And we're sitting.
This is one of those you remember where you were at when you got the news.
You know, you eat, eating. We're watching the football, and I kind of flip. I open up my phone to check my awful fantasy team this week.
Oh, mine was good, by the way.
Then I hit the Twitter, and all of a sudden, I see Pete Thamel reporting Lincoln Riley emerges as the main candidate, and I'm thinking, what? What are they talking about? And he answered his own tweet like a minute later and said, expect an announcement in the next 24 hours. Like, whoa, that escalated quickly. Or did it? As it looks like the LA Times is reporting that this has been in the works behind the scenes since August, about 2 weeks after the announcement that Oklahoma was going to the SEC.
Remember when there was all those rumors when, you know, they didn't look like the team was in sync and they're getting by bad teams, playing down. There's always rumors like there's something going on internally. Well, I think that's pretty clear what that was.
Yeah, he had a coach with one foot out the door all season long. Yeah. If that's accurate from what the LA Times is reporting, that it started all the way back before the season, then yeah. It what happened throughout the season at Oklahoma makes so much more sense now. And I guess we could probably put to bed the Alex Grinch didn't like his style because he wouldn't let him tackle in practice narrative, since Alex Grinch is going to USC with Lincoln Riley. So that was just kind of a made-up thing that people were trying to explain, I think, the way that OU's season went, and it because it wasn't what anybody thought it was going to be, right? And now, I mean, there is no doubt about this, that at least in the short term, this is going to be absolute devastation to Oklahoma. From a recruiting standpoint, I mean, the decommitments are flying off the shelves as we speak. It started last night with some 2023 guys, which, you know, if that's going to happen, okay, you've got a whole year to get, you know, figure out a way to right the ship.
Right.
But now this morning, you've got a guy, Kobe McKenzie was last night, 2022. Linebacker. He has been committed to Oklahoma for almost 3 years. He was the very first guy in the 2022 class. He's gone. Demetrius Hunter, the center, he's gone. Derek Moore, big-time defensive end out of Maryland, he's gone, or at least decommitted for now. and it doesn't look like a whole bunch of hope to get him back, you know, get the, some of those guys back. So this, man, for the timing of this happening, it could not possibly be worse for the University of Oklahoma and the stability, which has been a hallmark, a trademark of OU football since Bob Stoops, Joe Castiglione, and David Boren got together back in 1999. It feels like it's on shaky ground right now for the first time in a long time.
Well, if there's any positive out of all this, is Bob Stoops stepping up.
Oh, man, think about where you'd be if you didn't have that guy.
Right.
Just handy on campus.
You know, he's willing to step up, and it makes me wonder. Yes, he needs to step up, or he's going to, and obviously got to find who's going to run the defense, who's going to run my offense, probably Kale. And all of that, just as far as bowl preparation is concerned. But I wonder, will he be on the phone with these guys who have not decommitted? Good. Listen, we got the ball rolling. We got guys on our, you know, stay with us, and we'll let you know who we're going to go get.
Can he? Do we know what the rules are? Like literally, do
yeah,
we know the rules?
Point. That's a good point, too.
I mean, the thing about him is different than about anybody else. He's always been on the payroll of the university still.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I'm sure he can, and that's why that announcement was made, but I'm not 100% sure he can. But sure, that's the
you want to be such a pardon my choice of words, but crappy rule to say, "Hey, listen, you don't have a coach, you can't have an interim coach recruit." Well, what do we got to do? We got to maintain a program too.
That's right. And can he go, because you know it started, in-home visits just started.
Yeah.
You know, that period is back open. So what's there? You know, are we going to see Bob out on the recruiting trail? It's the worst time you could possibly think of for this to happen. Some guys that were, you know, Cliff Kingsbury's name came up yesterday almost immediately. Adam Schefter, that has to be, you know, his agent getting that out there, because Kingsbury's down to 1 year left on his deal at Arizona. Things are going well for him with Kyler Murray. You wouldn't see that being a move he would want to make, being in the NFL right now and having success at it. I think that's totally just an agent-driven trying to get a contract done with Kingsbury.
Yeah, that was.
Here is the question, though. With that, should Oklahoma go after another offensive mind such as Kingsbury? They just had Riley. I mean, to me, Kingsbury is a lesser Riley, at least in the college game. Is that the route, or is it circle back around and go back more with the defensive mindset, with the expectations and you know, it's happening, of going into the SEC here in the next couple of years?
Well, I think that's the key, is going to the SEC. You want a guy that is not going to shy away from the week-in, week-out competition of the SEC. And that just screams at me, a guy that has SEC experience, whether that be as a coordinator, a head coach. So you can kind of narrow your list down there. So if that, so be it. If that means it's an offensive guy or defensive guy, that's what they get. You know what I mean? Now I can see keeping some recruits who are going, listen, I signed up to be, or I committed to a team that is high flying, high scoring offense, and you went and replaced Riley with a Kiffin or somebody that's offensive minded. They might be more willing to stay. But if they go get a guy that's more defensive-minded and more traditional-type football, and they want out the offensive guys anyways, so be it. Go get the recruits that you need to run your offense and defense. But anyway, my answer to that is go get a guy that's, you know, you're gonna hire the guy that's going to be your coach for OU in the SEC, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that is offensively or defensively. And quite frankly, I just, as an OU fan, I just want stability, you know?
And
you see what I'm saying?
Yes. And is there – okay, here's the next question. I agree. I'm more of the defensive-minded guy, and hire a great offensive coordinator, a la what Bob Stoops did when he got the job in 99. Here is the question about – when you talk about stability and with the timing and with the move coming – I know some people are going to love what I'm about to say and some are going to hate it, but here's the question. Is there anybody more well-equipped to be kind of the barrier between one and the other than Bob Stoops?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
kind of the stopgap. Is there anybody better equipped for a 2 or 3 year stopgap to make the transition to the SEC and then do what he did before, find somebody he likes, thinks he can run the program, and leave it in those hands? Is there anybody better to do that than Bob?
I don't have a problem with that. In his love of the program, I can see him wanting to do that if he was asked to do that. You know, I don't think there's any question of would he do it. I think he'd do it. But is that where Joe Castiglione, is that what he wants to do?
I wouldn't think so, but
it's a perfect situation for where he's at now, being Bob, that is, as an interim guy. I mean, when I first heard that rumor, I thought, man, that'd be actually pretty good just to fill the gap until the next guy is hired. But as far as a 1 year, 2 year stint, just feels very OU like.
Yeah.
But I can see how that can work. You go, okay, we get 2 years. You know, Bob said, okay, I'll give you 2 years. We're going to work together and find a guy to get in here. Just like we did Lincoln, we're going to find a guy and then I'll step aside when it's SEC time.
Yeah, and part of the reason why it feels un-OU-like is because this move by Lincoln Riley is un-OU, as I mentioned earlier.
Absolutely.
1972, Chuck Fairbanks, the last guy to leave this job to coach somewhere else. And 1946 with Jim Tatum is the last guy to leave and go coach another college. It doesn't happen at Oklahoma.
No.
But it did yesterday.
Thank goodness Tatum left.
He brought Bud with him.
That brought Bud, yeah. I'll say this, my final thought, and then we'll get to Jim. The good news is OU is still a destination place.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to hear some big names, and those guys are going to answer the call when Joe's calling them.
And it'll be a coordinator, like it always is.
Probably.
Western Oklahoma Realty, the Pick'em Contest, down to its last week. We have 3 tied at 71 and 59 for the year. So that'll be interesting to watch over the weekend to see who comes away with the win there. Joining us now is the voice you're going to hear at 2 o'clock right out here on these airways. It's the ultimate Jim Traber. Jim, how are you?
I'm good, fellas. How you guys doing?
Oh, doing well. It's going to be a beautiful week of weather, and so, you know, there's not a lot going on after football season's over out here, so, you know.
You're supposed to have 80 degrees out there, man.
Yes, yeah, 80 degrees today is very possible, and it doesn't look like it's going to be too windy, so I'm sure some people here that work here will be at the golf course. Neither one of us will
be those
two.
I just need to go jogging to run off this extra 10 pounds of fat I obtained over the 4-day weekend.
I'm thinking about putting some shorts on.
I've got shorts on.
I got them on, too.
Beautiful.
Got him on. How was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was great. You know, my baby daughter couldn't come home. That's where my family is. I've been alone for the last couple of days. I'm just letting y'all know I'm a total idiot when I'm alone. I just sit around and do nothing and don't eat well and don't sleep well. It's pathetic. They're going to come home today, but we had a great Thanksgiving and, you know, just a lot of football, a lot of food. And then, of course, the big news that Mr. Lincoln Riley decides to leave. Okay, guys, is he worse than Kevin Durant? Which one is the people can't stand worse than?
I'm afraid he might be.
Man,
because,
that's a good one.
You know, the only difference to me is USC didn't beat Oklahoma in the playoff this year. But that USC's been one of those programs that has had OU's number. You know, there's a certain kind of ones that they don't play often. But when they do, USC doesn't. And I think the aftermath of what's going to be left behind with the recruiting, and there's already all the decommits coming and kind of knocking OU off that stability plateau that they've been on since Bob Stoops came all the way back in 99. I think there's a chance that he might be worse than Kevin Durant in the eyes of OU fans for sure.
Well, let me say this, okay? OU fans need to forget about this crap about being so mad and everything and worry about the fact of what I've talked about all season long. There are problems at OU. Nobody wants to admit it because they're winning games. I mean, it's not like they're terrible, but you could see it all year long. This team was not together. Now, I'm sure every OU fan, or a lot of them, are going to say, well, it was because of Lincoln Riley. Well, it sounds as if Lincoln Riley, we're getting a lot of information. Mark Rogers, I've been talking to him a lot this morning. I guess Lincoln Riley was not getting things that he wanted. I guess that the administration at the University of Oklahoma, and I'm talking about all the way to the top, couldn't afford to, or acted like they couldn't afford to do some things that maybe they wanted to do at the football program. And let me tell you something. anybody out there thinks? See, okay, you remember how everybody was disgusted with Kevin Durant, and no one would admit what I tried to say to people is that part of it was that he wasn't happy with Russell Westbrook and some of the things that were happening here, right? No one could, oh, no, not Russell Westbrook. Kevin Durant's a horrible person. This is the exact same thing, fellas, okay? The University of Oklahoma has to look at themselves here. And this isn't just about one or two recruiting classes, okay? They got to figure it out. And let me tell you, whoever the next coach is, better have a little bit of discipline. Because Lincoln Riley's the best offensive coordinator I've really kind of ever seen, really. And I think he's a really good head coach. But the lack of discipline on this team has killed them this year. They've had horrific penalties all year long. And they just keep on doing it. So, look, I think it's crazy. If we want to get into him going to USC, I mean, the dude is from Muleshoe. His wife is from a little tiny town. Wait till they get out there and live in Los Angeles, okay? I mean, or around. They're going to live down there in Orange County, I'm sure. You know, and it's nice. The weather's great. But I'll be interested to see if his wife and family are happy, because it is a far cry from Oklahoma, and definitely a far cry from Muleshoe.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that this happening right now, because this doesn't happen at Oklahoma. Fairbanks in 72 went to the Patriots. There hadn't been a guy leave this job for another college job since 1946. So, you know, the way that it happened, I think, is shocking for everybody. But USC seems like one of those kind of sleeping giant type programs. It's been there before, and it can dang sure get there again with being able to recruit guys.
Okay, we'll see. I mean, I'm not convinced of that. Matter of fact, if I had to bet my next paycheck on whether he wins a national championship, I would say no. Now, maybe that's not a big old limb, because, I mean, it's hard to win a national championship. The last time they went out there, fellas, they were cheating.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, let's just remember that. I mean, Pete Carroll's a really good football coach, and I'm not saying that it's not a really good job, because it is. But we'll see. I'm not convinced that this is some great move for him. Yeah, he's going to get a lot of money, but I don't think it was about money. And, I mean, let's just see. The good thing that he's got going is that Oregon is the only real threat in that league. Everybody else, there's no one coming. I mean, if some people think UCLA's coming up, yeah, I doubt it. So, yeah, Washington is a joke. So we'll see what happens. But I will tell you this, it's going to be a lot easier out there out there than it would have been if he was going into the SEC.
Hey, so the question on everybody's mind, at least locally, is who's the next guy? Who should OU go after? I know it's really early, and then there's the Cliff Kingsbury stuff yesterday, which I never took seriously. Who do you think OU should look at? What route should they take for their next head coach?
Well, Jokic told me a long time ago, probably 15 years ago, he said, we were talking, and he says, every single coach of every program that he has at OU, he's got a list of five people that he likes, from gymnastics to softball to baseball to football, okay? So he's got a list, and I will bet you that at least three of the people on his list haven't even been mentioned. I mean, Kingsbury, fellas, he might be coach of the year in the NFL, all right? Think about that. He could, well, he's got a quarterback that's a superstar. He's fighting to try to win a Super Bowl. And what's he going to leave? Is he going to leave in December and go, yeah, you know what, I'm going to OU? See, this is one of the problems, and I know both you guys are OU fans, but let me tell you all something. One of the biggest problems with the University of Oklahoma is that the people here think that everybody wants to be at Oklahoma. They don't. Okay? It's a really good program. But just because they love it so daggone much doesn't mean that everybody does. So, I mean, these rumors, and I know some of them have been from other nationally people, but this is a really, really good job. It's one of the best jobs in the country. But you're not leaving a big-time pro job where you're playing really well to come here. It's just not happening. I mean, you know, some of them are talking about Shane Beamer. I mean, look, OU's done over the years, they've brought in coordinators, really, for the most part. The only head coach they've hired was a buffoon, right? Howard Snellenberger. But the Shane Beamer thing just seems like, I don't know, man. I don't know him. Everybody thinks he's a great guy, but it just seems to me like he's being over his head a little bit. Maybe I'm wrong. You know, there was talk yesterday about Sonny Dykes. I mean, he's going to leave TCU after being there for a week. I don't know who's getting the job, and I will tell you that more than likely it's going to be someone that we're not even talking about. But we will wait for Barry Trammell to write his 64 teams to see how he's going to do it. So that should be fun.
Hopefully he gets one in there this time. Because back when the Capel thing happened, it wasn't even in the list. But
I know. That's so crazy. Yeah.
A name that people have immediately started saying, my buddies, and then seeing it online, is Brent Venables. Is that just one of those kind? What kind of chances do you think that he would actually come back and take the reins of this program?
Well, I love some Brent Venables now. I mean, he used to live about five doors down from him when Julie and I built our house down there in Norman. And he, you know, I would be walking a dog, or he'd be. I mean, I love just sitting and talking to him. And he's a big time football coach. And defensively, the guy, I mean, he's doing a great job down there in Clemson. But I just, from what I've heard over the years, fellas, I don't know if he really wants a head coaching job.
Yeah.
I mean, he's making about $2 million in Clemson. Have either one of y'all been to Clemson,
nope.
South Carolina? Well, it's about like Stillwater. I mean, that's what it is. Not even that big. I think we looked it up one day. It's not. They don't have as many people. I mean, $2 million in that town is impressive. And right now, the defense has been great this year. The problem has been the offense. So I think that, you know, I don't know. I don't know if he wants this job. Brent Venables is a great dude. If they gave him to him, I'd be 100% behind it. He'd have to bring in, obviously, a very impressive offensive guy. I don't know who that would be. But I don't know, man. I mean, we can sit here and speculate on this guy and this guy and this guy. But I'm telling you, whoever the next coach is, I think they've got to do some things. I really do. Now, again, I'm not saying you have to get rid of 100 players. I'm saying you gotta instill some discipline in this team. Because I don't know if you guys – are you watching the same team, fellas? I mean, they're very undisciplined, if you ask me.
Yeah, that's what somebody told me. I was like, man, this is going to be a program setback situation, and this guy was very I'm sure your phone was blowing up. I know Aaron and ours phone was blowing up. But this guy's very positive about saying, hey, now it's an opportunity to get a guy that's going to be a discipline. He's not going to be a player's coach. He's going to be a coach's coach. He's going to come in there and be disciplined. I hope that's true. I hope that they find a guy that is more hard-nosed than Lincoln was.
Well, you can be a little of both. I mean, you don't have to be extreme either way. I mean, you can be – I had dudes that would, like, throw me up against the wall, but I loved them, mm-hmm. You know, because when something was serious or whatever, they were there. I mean, it's possible to do both. But I just think that Lincoln Riley is just he believes in letting his players do what they want to do. I mean, it's that simple. And when you're winning big, it can be a great thing. But if you start to do a couple things that don't look as good, guess what? Then it doesn't help you very much. So we'll see. I mean, I have so much faith in Joe Castiglione, and I think that they'll get a really good coach. I think that I will tell you this: don't be surprised if it's somebody that we don't know a lot about. Don't be surprised if he's going to make a whole bunch less money than Lincoln Riley. I mean, I know people are throwing money around all over the country like it's water, but we still did have this incredible pandemic situation where they all lost a lot of money. So my guess is that, you know, maybe $3, $4 million, whoever the next guy is. And that's going to save a bunch of money and help them. So I don't know. It's a shocking deal. I was just trying to play some poker yesterday, poker, and the daggone phone, my phone was a joke.
Yeah.
I mean, people were coming from everywhere, so crazy stuff.
Yeah, it really is. Let's go back a couple of days, or a few hours before that all started happening, to Bedlam. Fantastic game. I thought Riley early had a really good plan for Jim Knowles' defense, and then Jim Knowles switched everything up in the second half. He went to that Iowa State rush 3, drop 8 that has confused Oklahoma since 2017 when Iowa State beat Oklahoma in Owen Field and Baker Mayfield was the quarterback. really good job, I thought, by Knowles not to be too stubborn with what got them there and switching to what he knew would control OU's offense at least this year and then really has for the last couple of years, and that's playing that umbrella and forcing them to get impatient, going away from the run, and that's exactly what happened, and OSU's defense dominated that second half.
Yeah, I thought both teams had great, and I mean great, game plans. I thought OSU opened it up. I thought they had some tremendous plays. I thought OU said, okay, you don't really have a weakness, but the one weakness I think you do have is that we got some bigger guys that you can't cover. I mean, they haven't used Stogner all year long, right?
Yeah, or Willis.
Willis, yeah. Even Jeremiah Hall. I mean, those were their three top wide receivers. How much money would you guys have given me if I'd have said those were going to be their three top receivers in this game?
Yeah.
That was a brilliant plan. And let me tell you something. We're finding out about this quarterback, okay, that when he has it's the weirdest thing. He's like backwards. When he has time, he's not as good. But when he has to just make a quick move, he's better. And that's what he was doing. The touchdown to Stogner, some of those other plays, they were in his face, and he just threw off his back foot, and he's got a great arm, and he made it. But when he's got a lot of time, he has a really hard time. So, yeah, Jim Knowles at halftime said, okay, this isn't working. We need to go ahead and get after it. And they changed it up. They dropped back. And see, OSU still with 3, 4, 5 guys rushing, they've got a great chance, right? They still got a great chance to get there. So, yeah, really a nice little cat-and-mouse situation with the coaches. A great win for OSU. I mean, a great win for OSU. I still thought that there were some things where the real Mike Gundy came out. I couldn't believe it, fellas. At the end of the first half, minute 15 left, OSU has all three timeouts. So OU's third and goal, or it's actually third and four, at the 5-yard line. All right? So that means that the next thing that's going to happen either means is that OU is going to kick a field goal or they're going to score a touchdown. 90% chance. I mean, maybe one. So Mike Gundy, just let the clock run down, fellas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, call a daggone timeout. I mean, I just could not believe. I mean, he gets the ball back with like 30 seconds left. He could have gotten the ball back with a minute five and two timeouts. I mean, so I just, that kind of thing still blows my mind. I did not agree with the punt on 4th and 1, but it turned out that, you know, Gray is back there, and he fumbles it, and they get the ball back. So, anyway, I don't know what's going on. There's things happening all around me. Anyway, I will tell you this, fellas. One thing that I took from this season, I am never, ever, ever, ever going to listen to all the daggone hype behind OU's players. I'm tired of it. I mean, guys, do you remember back in August how good these three kids from Tennessee were? Do you guys remember that?
Yep.
Do we all remember that? I mean, that was going to be unbelievable. Gray's a newcomer of the year. And listen, this wasn't us. It wasn't the media. They touted this team of all the depth that they had. Beedenbo came out and said how great the offensive line is. I'm tired of the hype, man. I'm not going to listen to it anymore. Because, yeah, they're good, but I don't care if they're getting 5. I don't care if they're getting 10 stars. They're not. I mean, they got to figure out a way to get to a higher level. By the way, I'm hearing, too, Beedenbo's not going to go with them. I hear Beedenbo might go, I think, maybe going to TCU.
Really? So I had seen that he wasn't one of the names that was on the flight earlier this morning.
What were those names? Some of them I don't even know.
It was
Stroud or something.
Yeah, he was the football ops guy. It was Grinch. It was Dennis Simmons. It was Riley. And there was one more of the assistants. Beedenbo was not one of those guys that was on there earlier. I'll look that up on the Twitter.
Yeah.
I actually, to your point about the Tennessee guys, I thought it was super ironic that maybe two of the biggest plays in the game were not made by those guys. One, the drop by Key Lawrence was going to be a pick six after OU went up 9, could have made it 16, and then that's a totally different game, of course, than Eric Gray dropping the punt at the 5. What happened to not catching balls inside the 10 on punt returns? That used to be kind of a staple. If you put your heels on the 10, if it goes over your head, don't go get it. And now you see both teams on almost the exact same piece of turf drop balls that end up being touchdowns for the other team.
Well, and Gray was inside the 5-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know, guys. I on the post-game show, I went ballistic about it. It's ridiculous. I don't know if they're not coaching it. I don't know if the players aren't listening. you know, guys, I think these players, this is obviously both OU and OSU, I think these players now want to make such big plays.
Yeah.
You know, they want to make 95-yard punt returns and stuff. Well, just get the heck out of the way. If it happens to hit the ground and stay there, well, you were going to fair catch it anyway, so it's the exact same thing. If it goes in the end zone, you gain yardage to the 20-yard line. I don't know, fellas. It's mind-boggling to me. But that happens. It's not just OU and OSU. There's a bunch of kids that do that nowadays. I don't know why. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I just want to get on SportsCenter. What's your thought of the Big 12 championship game real quick? OSU and Baylor rematch, of course. Feels like OSU should be a heavy favorite.
Oh, you mean there's a football game coming up? I didn't realize that. I think OSU, if they keep their focus, which will be hard now. I mean, that's the biggest win in the history of the school, in my opinion. And I think that this coming one will be bigger, but it's going to be harder to play because they just won this one. But I think if OSU goes down there and takes care of business, then they should very easily win the game, I think. They're better than Baylor. I don't know if Bohannon's going to play. I mean, you want to play this defense with a backup quarterback?
Wouldn't,
I doubt it.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so.
Yeah.
The focus thing is a lot easier when you're 23 and 24 years old, right? So I think OSU should be fine. And then we'll see if they can get in this playoff. So, I mean, every OSU fan needs to root for Houston and Georgia. I don't know if we'll see. I don't know about Michigan. What is it? Iowa, is that who's playing that game?
Yep.
Jeez, what a bad the Big Ten East. I mean, West is just terrible, or North, or whatever the heck it is. Terrible. I mean, terrible.
All right. It was Grinch, Simmons, Clark Stroud, which was the director of ops, and then the strength coach Benny Wiley. Those were the four guys, along with Riley, that were at the Will Rogers World Airport this morning.
That's all. Isn't it interesting that that's all he's taken?
Yeah, I mean, I've read things that DeMarco Murray certainly wasn't happy in the meeting when he told everybody, and you know that's obviously he played there, but you know
why in the world did he not take one offensive guy?
Yeah, that's super
that
interesting.
Right?
Well, no, Simmons did, the wide receiver coach.
Oh,
Simmons,
he was wide receiver coach. Yep. Yeah, you're right. That's because he's supposed to be a great recruiter.
Yeah,
and I don't know this because I don't follow it, but I'll bet you who's the recruiter in California? Is it him?
Yeah.
You remember, he used to be out there. He was at Washington State.
Right?
State. California.
Yep, yep. That's exactly right. Him or Jamar Cain would have been the guys on my mind that would have been that, because Cain came from Arizona State.
I'll bet a lot of money that Simmons is the dude that got all those guys. I'll bet you.
Yep. I bet you.
The quarterback out there said no, like Nelson. But what about those other two big wide receivers? Has that happened yet?
One of those big wide receivers said he was staying with Oklahoma for now. DeAndre Moore. He was the only one that I think I've seen that's come out and said he was going to stay. And he referenced DeMarco Murray. Said I'm still with DeMarco Murray and I'm staying with Sooner Nation. Everybody else.
Those big running backs. The running back.
Running back from Florida or whatever is decommitted. The receiver from Florida for 2023, the number three player overall, he's done. The quarterback was gone. And then now they're starting to lose guys from this class that's signing in 2 weeks or whatever.
What about those? They're supposed to have two big-time running backs coming in this year.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen anything on Gavin Sawchuk. Raylene Brown, you can go ahead and book him to USC. I don't think there's any doubt. He's from Mater Dei, stay home, play for Lincoln Riley. I can't imagine that he stays with Oklahoma with this news. Here's one.
All these dudes' names, dude. That's ridiculous.
What do you think the likelihood is of one of those two quarterbacks that are on campus right now at OU going to Southern Cal with Lincoln Riley?
I think there's no doubt. I mean, you know, I hear people talking about now. He thinks both quarterbacks are going to leave. Well, that would be just crushing if that happened. Whoever comes in is going to have to go in the portal, and that would be psychotic. I don't know, man. I don't know why in the world. Lincoln Riley is kind of the quarterback whisperer. Spencer Rattler. I wonder if he would want Spencer Rattler. I mean, I know that sounds bad. But I wonder. I don't know. I don't know the relationship, and I don't know if Spencer Rattler wants to play for him. That Spencer—he just took. This is the coach that just yanked him out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. And then Caleb Williams, boy, they lose both of those guys, fellas, and then they got Malachi, I mean, Nelson, what in the world is going to happen, man? This is a massive dilemma for OU. I mean, a massive dilemma. You know who's laughing, too, by the way?
Who's that?
OSU fans.
Yeah. I had a couple of them text me yesterday when this all news broke. We're like, really, OU fans, you can't let us have even a glimmer of the spotlight. You got to do this to us after we finally won Bedlam.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure someone's going to rip me about talking about this thing before talking about OSU's win. But think about it. As an OSU fan, you can't beat OU. You got no chance to beat them. And then you finally have just a monumental win. You got a chance to go to where you are. And then at the same time, their coach decides to quit, and it looks like they're in disarray. I mean, the OSU fans, they got to be – and then they're getting ready to go to another league. I mean, the OSU fans are going to be going – they're going crazy.
How ironic would it be Oklahoma State wins, get into the playoff, and end up in that 2 or 3 seed, and after all these years of us talking about, man, OU needs to be the 1 seed so they can play in Dallas, how ironic would it be if Oklahoma State got there and actually played in Jerry World first before Oklahoma ever had that chance?
Oh, I mean, that would be just crazy. Absolutely crazy. This job never ceases to amaze me, guys. I mean, there's always, you sit there and you think, gosh, you know, what are we going to talk? It's always something that comes out. So, should be a great show today. Should be an unbelievable show. I'm ready to go. And I'm sure that there'll be some people that aren't very happy with me, but whatever.
So, family not there. Do we have a podcast coming today?
Oh, yeah, we definitely have a podcast. We taped it this weekend. I got to tell you, man, I really wish that I could have taped it this morning after all this crazy stuff coming on. But we'll talk about this stuff, I'm sure. But, yeah, we got a great one. It's about Thanksgiving and about, fellas, it's all about date night. You guys, all you guys out there listening, and the women listening, the women are going, they're shaking their head. They're nodding their heads up and down. Date nights. Date nights are very, very important. So I think you'll like this one. It's good stuff.
All right, Jim.
Well, it's the Julian Jim Traver podcast. Yep. Julian Jim Traver podcast.
You can get it anywhere, basically. Sports Animal website, yep. iTunes, Spotify.
Everywhere.
It's everywhere.
All over the country, people are listening now, so I'm really excited about it.
Well, fantastic stuff. Thanks for joining us on a Monday, and have a fun show. I'm sure it will be starting it, too.
Congratulations for a great season for the Elks, by the way.
Thank you very much. It was. It was a heck of a game on Friday night. Just not quite able
what
to get it done.
What was the final score?
17-7, and, man, Elk City outgained Clinton almost 2-1, but special teams. Clinton had a long kickoff return that set up a field goal. They had like a 75-yard punt that went through a couple of the guys that were back to receive it and rolled all the way down. And then 6 minutes left or so, the Elks muffed a punt a la both OU and OSU inside about the 20, and Clinton punched it in, and that was the end when they did that. But it was a really fun game.
They had a great year. Great year for the Elks.
It
Congratulations.
It was. Thank you, sir. And thank
all
you for
right,
joining
fun.
Us. All right, see you later. That is the ultimate
bye-bye.
Jim Traber. Joining us on a Monday, and he's, you know, there's lots of stuff that we're going to get into as far as Bedlam, as far as the playoff, and then, of course, the coaching search and what went into Lincoln Riley making this choice. You know, you hear about what Jim kind of referenced from an administration level. The one thing that we really haven't said yet, the SEC move, every bit – has everything to do with this, in my opinion. He sees the opportunity at USC to dominate the Pac-12 the way they've dominated the Big 12 here, and maybe not the same opportunities that lie ahead when you move to the best conference in the country.
Yeah, I'm still trying to compute that. How do I take that as far as my opinion of Lincoln Riley? Is it smart to go to the path of least resistance, being the Pac-12? He won the state, allegedly won the state in the Big 12 and continue to dominate. Or is he timid, didn't want to the challenge of the rigorous SEC? I don't know how to, I still haven't figured that out. What my opinion would be. You know, I mean, it could be one way or the other. Depends on how you look at it.
I think it's easy to, as an OU fan, to say, oh, he was scared of the competition.
Right.
That's all well and good. but at the same time,
so I can get a pay raise and have an easier conference to play in.
And like I said, it's not like he went to Washington or Oregon or UCL. He went to USC.
Right.
And in my opinion, there's five blue bloods in the history of college football, and they are one of them. He left one to go to another. And so I could see, in my mind, I see how that decision's made, why it's made. It makes sense on a lot of levels. It's just the shock of a coach leaving Oklahoma. It's never happened in our lifetime.
No. No.
To go coach somewhere else.
Right.
It's never happened. No. And so I think Michigan's not there. Sorry. It's Ohio State. It's USC. It's Oklahoma. It's Notre Dame. And it's Alabama. They are head and shoulders above everybody else. Sure, Michigan has the most wins of all time because they played the longest. Okay? You've got five that are way better. Five. It's not Michigan. Look at their championships. You want to look at the wins? Look at the championships. They don't win any. The others do. And it's just shocking to see when this happens to one of those five. But it just happened to be that he went to one of those five. So, interesting to see OU coaching staff. I kind of agree with OU.
It would be more of a slap in the face if he had, like you said, if he had left OU to go to Oregon.
Or LSU.
LSU
isn't on OU's level of all-time greatness.
Right.
They're not. USC is.
Right.
And like I said, there's very few. I think I do agree with Jim in one thing he said, for sure. The next coach, I don't know if anybody's talking about him yet.
Knowing how Josie operates, I'm with you.
I don't know if
anybody's
talking about
him yet. Nobody knew Bob Stoops outside of the university,
so
outside
here you
of
go.
Gainesville at that time.
So here you go. Dan Lanning. Do you know who that is?
Who?
Do you know who it is? Seriously.
No.
It's the defensive coordinator at Georgia.
I could see any kind of coordinator out of the SEC. I really could.
Could too. We'll be back. Talk about it tomorrow, everybody. Have a great Monday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered early.